morning and welcome to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city and rebroadcasting on community and co-op radio stations in the Kootenays and Prince George. My name is Bob Russell. I'll be your host today. I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, John Jurisic, owner of Harper Digital Media, past president of the Greater Victoria Chamber of Commerce, and current director of the BC Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you, Bob. You look marvelous.
Thank you, John. Also joining us in the studio is Bruce Carter, CEO of the Greater Victoria Chamber of Commerce, president of the Chamber of Commerce Executives of Canada, and current director of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. Bruce, just a quick question on that. You're a director of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
John's a director of the BC Chamber of Commerce.
True.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does that not make you more important than John?
Well, you know, for a number of reasons. Yeah, no, we just won't go there. But
okay, I just thought
chamber right here to fill a room.
Exactly. So, what we're going to be doing today, folks, is that you know the dog days of summer are coming to an end, and we're going to do a little review of matters political, matters economic, and do maybe a little table setting for the year that's about to come. And, you know, people tend to turn off during the summer. Politicians spend a lot of time at barbecues and on islands or wherever they go. And but it's going to be an interesting year coming up. And I was hoping that particularly with two chamber representatives and participants and business people in the studio, we could have an engaging conversation about the year that's about to come. And I guess the one thing I'd want to bring up first is that my sense is and that the economy is still really driving everything.
It always drives everything.
Well, but it doesn't always drive everything. I mean, you know, in the general scheme of things, if you, you know, in the broad strokes of history, the economy doesn't always drive things. I mean, it's not always, you know, look at where the environment was in public opinion polls 5-6 years ago and look where it is now. You know, I mean, it's when times are bad, everybody turns to the economy, the economy, the economy, the economy. When times are good, all of a sudden, well, you know, let's be nicer to the environment, or you know, let's do other things. But the economy is still really driving things. I know myself from you know having my own business, but also you know various people in the business community that there's just a lot of insecurity out there right now. And I mean, just how much is there, Bruce?
Well, we head off into our business planning cycle, and that's where we are now. So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do for next year. And the first part of doing the business plan is trying to figure out or forecast what the economy is going to look like and what the business conditions are going to be next year. The best way I find to do that locally is not to read the newspaper and talk to all the economists. It's to wander out and talk to the people that are doing business going, how's your business? What do you think is going to happen next year? And most of them are going, you know, really hoping the next year would be on the upswing, and I'm not feeling it. Yeah. I'm thinking that it's going to be better than this year, but not great. We're not going to go back to boom times, and we're not going to have this instant turnaround. We're going to see, you know, another 2 or 3%, maybe 2% growth. Mm-hmm. You know, and so. Do I want to do major investments? Oh, probably not. Will my revenues go up in such a way that I can expand staff? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Do I need to continue to be cautious? Probably. And that becomes the premise for all the things that you think about and do for the next year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the way you talk to the banker. It's the way you spend money. It's the way that you look at renovating your buildings. It's the way that you consider expanding. And that's... So that's what I'm hearing from the folks I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and likewise, in the course of trying to generate business and trying to help others find business and understand, there's a new paradigm out there. We certainly don't have the kind of environment we had pre-recession, and to some degree, we've been spending. Business community is wondering, okay, are we going back? The paradigm has shifted. Mm-hmm. It is now an environment in which there is very little cash flow, extra cash flow. There is very little to no credit that is available for small business. And so one has to be razor sharp with their value proposition, One has to demonstrate value. One has to explain return on investment very, very clearly. One has to work twice as hard for half the income. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening out there. And it's not going to go back to the way it used to be.
Although I get what you're saying, John, part of me says we're actually returning to what business should be. You know, we've gone through an interesting period with incredible highs and incredible lows, and a period where, you know, we made an incredible amount of money, particularly in tech and software companies, where there was no value to begin with.
It was perceived.
Well, no, in a lot of cases, and we're talking globally, right? I mean, we're not talking, but so you went through that, and then that sort of became the new expectation, and I think you could probably argue for the past 300 or 400 years, the norm has been, if you work really hard and watch your expenses and compete really well, you'll do okay. Well, and I think that's what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I think it's the new norm, and I think there is, for all that it is not very exciting to say, oh, I don't know if we're going to grow all that much. There aren't a lot of people that are saying, oh, well, I'm not sure that I'm going to make it, which is different. So that stability has incredible value as you start to look at, you know, will I still have a job in a year? Will the company still operate? And I think so. For all that we're not going to see these great gains, I think we actually have some stability. So I don't know that it's bad. Mm-hmm. It just is.
And in fact, that the final part of that piece wasn't that it is bad. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's probably the way business has been done. So really, reaffirming what you're saying, where the challenge lies is in dealing with folks who are trying to change their behavior within this environment. Mm-hmm. And that is where the struggle is on the human side, less on the business logistics side. I agree with you. Yes. This is a time now when creativity and innovation are going to win you business. Mm-hmm. Isn't that how we used to do things? Yeah. It is. Yeah. Isn't that how we used to build business, how we used to build our country? Yes, it is. But if you have folks who can't do that, that's a problem. And we have a business community, to some degree, folks out there who can't do that.
Right. Yeah. But that's the ongoing struggle. I think by and large, the challenging times that we have had have actually forced all the businesses that have been around, mm-hmm. you know, to survive. There's been a bit of a natural selection of those businesses that are providing value.
A culling of the herd.
Are still in business, and those that weren't providing value or weren't necessarily that good a manager, mm-hmm. many of those are no longer in business.
Right. You mentioned cash flow, John, you know, and I know that other small business people I know, and certainly the case with my business, I mean, cash flow is the issue right now. It's focus. Yet, you know, last week, Bank of Canada Governor Mark Carney gave a speech to the auto workers where he said, you know, got all this cash, business, start spending it. Who is he talking about?
Oh, the amount of cash that's sitting on balance sheets in big business is striking.
It is.
He used the number $500 billion in Canada. Well, I agree with that. The numbers have been estimated at somewhere between 3 and 10 trillion in the U.S. Right? That's sitting there waiting for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So for all that small businesses figured out, you know, you just need to focus on what you're going to do and invest on your stuff. I think global business or large business are saying, well, I'm not going to put my money in unless I can reasonably get a 14% return on it. And if not, I'm just not going to invest it. Well, and that is not good for the economic recovery.
But exactly. I think it's worth pointing out that this is a good time now to define who he might have been talking to. And I think Bruce just did. There's big business and there's small business. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, there's a concern in our country that medium-sized business is really, really struggling. There, you know, mm-hmm. it's almost being eliminated. So you have the small business person who is not in that position, mm-hmm. guarantee you.
Mm-hmm. But we just I'll introduce you. Excuse me, interrupt you for a second, Bruce. We just have to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back in a few minutes and continue talking about the economy.
Auto Care. At Island Muffler and Brake Auto Care, it's all about air and fuel filters, tire pressure, brake checks, and tune-ups to maintain maximum efficiency of your vehicle. Island Muffler and Brake Auto Care services your vehicle according to manufacturer's warranty maintenance schedules. Their diagnostic checkups save you from breakdowns and help maximize fuel mileage. And for over 40 years at Island Muffler and Brake Auto Care, it's all about building long-term relationships.
Island Muffler and Brake.
Hey Victoria, Brian Higgins here, and it's warehouse cleaning time at Arona Bay West Express. This is our biggest clearance event ever with huge discounts on overstocks and discontinued items. Best prices ever, save 25, 50, even 60% on items store-wide. Get a wall-mount Radiant heater for your patio, 1,200 watts, was $229, now just $99. For all your home projects, come in and get it done during the warehouse clearance at Arona Bay West Express, doing it right 7 days a week at Bay and Wilson and Vic West.
Sunday, September 9th at Clover Point on Dallas Road will be a fantastic day. Bring along your pooch and join in for a day of family fun at the Scotiabank and BC SPCA Pause for a Cause. Register to help speak for those who can't speak for themselves. Every dollar raised helps the BC SPCA save the lives of abandoned, abused, and neglected animals in our community. Critters gather at 9 a.m. Fun starts at 10:30. The Scotiabank BC SPCA Pause for a Cause, September 9th at Clover Point. Proudly supported by CFAX 1070.
Shop with confidence at Save On Foods during our Case Lot Super Sale. We're priced right. Assorted Armstrong cheese, 1.35 kilos, card price $15.99. Or Campbell's cream of mushroom or tomato soup, case of 12 cans, card price $5.99, limit of one. Plus, for exclusive offers on products you want, sign up at saveonfoods.com. Save On Foods, BC's very own since 1915.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, help is available. Since 1994, Edgewood Treatment Center in Nanaimo has helped thousands of people and families regain healthy lives free from addiction. Ranked as one of the leading treatment providers in North America, Edgewood now offers additional services at their new Victoria location, including medical assessments, outpatient treatment, and family support. Call Edgewood Treatment Center for a free confidential consultation. There is hope. There is support. Online at edgewood.ca.
Your fair weather and not so fair weather friends. With a forecast you can count on. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city and rebroadcasting on community and co-op radio stations in the Kootenays and Prince George. We're talking about the economy. I have Bruce Carter in the studio along with John Jurisic. Bruce, we were talking about, you know, big business has money, small business doesn't have money. There was a comment you were going to make.
Well, but I think when you talk about the economy and you talk about who's got money and what happens, we need to remember that the most important person in this global economy or in the city of Victoria or wherever it is the consumer. Because that's where money is really spent. It's at the consumer level. So the importance of consumer confidence, the importance of job security, the importance of personal financial security becomes probably, you know, the foundation of any economic activity. So people spend money. Mm-hmm. You know, governments get money when people spend it because it's all a part of activity. So I think that, you know, for all that Carney's comment was interesting, he's the same guy who's out there saying, you consumers, you have too much debt, stop spending.
Exactly, exactly. Right?
And I kind of going, so when I heard him say that, I went, well, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to spend money or not?
Yeah.
And I don't know that he can have a different message for consumers than he does from big business. Yeah. Big business is just, oh, well, you said save money, so we did. Now you're saying spend it or lose it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and there's a very direct connection between consumers and big business because – so I found that comment by Carney interesting. Mm-hmm. And I know I was talking to somebody who had chatted with a person from Italy, and they're saying, well, your government's saying don't spend money. Our government saying, spend,
please,
the economy, please spend.
So Bruce, as CEO of the Victoria Chamber, I think you get a sense of how that consumer confidence is locally. I mean, I go to Walmart and the place is packed.
Well, as the local chamber guy, I seldom go to Walmart.
I go to my point being is that outside the consumer wants the lowest price. They want there's a race to zero.
Yep.
It's hard to conduct business in that environment. The profit margins, the margins are small. Mm-hmm. Yet that's where people are at, and I suspect will be for some time. So I think a lot of folks are buying stuff, as you mentioned. Cash is moving around, but what is your sense of the confidence in locally and in the region? What are you hearing?
Well, this region is interesting, and I know that you know. In the next hour, we want to get into politics. We might get there really quick.
Funny how that happens.
Well, no, because you know when you look at the workforce in Victoria, about 30% of it works for government, which means about 30% of it is actually organized labor. I don't know if I were a labor person right now, or you know, someone who worked for government, I'd be expecting that sort of June of next year, there's going to be expansion of government services. There's got to be a lot of spending. There's going to be a lot of hiring. Mm-hmm. You know, and the wages are going to look good because that's what my crystal ball says around the government. So. Mm-hmm. So I think those things actually bode really well for our economy because uncertainty around those government employees, whatever that looks like, affects how those households spend money.
Exactly.
You know, and do I want to put a new roof on? Do I want to buy a new car? Well, you know, if the government...
And arguably, it's even higher than 30%. I think Bob, you've reflected with me numbers around how, you know, what is the public sector here?
I think one of the things that, you know, and it's great to have this discussion with you know, not only, you know, two business guys, but two chamber guys, is that what often gets lost in the political discourse is this sort of immediate and certainly south of the border knee-jerk default to the private sector creates jobs. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm looking and Victoria is a pretty good example. No, actually it's the public sector that's you know, got the jobs here and yeah, we want private sector to create jobs, but you know, public sector can create jobs very quickly.
Oh, you know what? No way.
Oh, come on.
No way. The in every other city in this province, right? The government is an expense. This is the only city because we're the capital where we think it can create jobs and we're wrong, right? I mean, jobs in this province come from the forestry sector and the mining sector, and if we didn't have those
tech sector,
but without those sectors, there'd be nobody in the ledge doing a job. Mm-hmm. Because we need all of those revenues for that to happen. We have a little microcosm here in the capital because 30% of the employees come from government. But that
microcosm gets you know, repeated throughout the country. And if we start looking at the country as a whole, I mean, you know, look at things like, for example, maybe we could have more meat inspection officers. I think most people would sort of think that would be a good expenditure for the federal government to make, given some things that have happened in the last 5 years, rather than cutting that back. And those jobs, you know, may only happen in Ottawa, or those jobs may only happen where the government's regionalized. But those are jobs.
But the price
who become consumers.
But the price of meat will go up for consumers because that you got more meat inspectors.
Okay.
This is the sliding scale.
Yeah.
But when we talk about economic development, when we talk about growing economies, we talk about new dollars in, right? And you know, so an interesting thing is, you know, why is it that we don't consider the retail sector a driving sector of the economy? Because we don't create more retail sales by putting in another store. Mm-hmm. We create more retail sales by getting more jobs and by getting more money into the region, because essentially the pool is limited.
And I agree with you. However, and I've been involved in the private sector since early 80s. I was about 8 years old then, Bob, just so you know, okay? And you were nine?
Okay. I was just going to say I had hair then. So.
It used to be that one would look towards improving their lot in life by trying to establish a business or getting involved with a business and growing that business. That's where you created some long-term wealth. Mm-hmm. These days, it appears that route is by joining government. Mm-hmm. If I want a really good job,
you know what?
If I want to make a lot of money, I'm going to go to God. That's wrong. That's wrong. I don't agree with that.
No. I have thousands of business members, yeah, right, who are out there doing good business, some of whom have been in business for more than 50 years, making money, supporting families, and employing hundreds of people.
They're not making 160 grand like apparently several hundred of administrators are doing.
John, I would actually disagree with you on that as well. I mean, my generation, and it was reflected in a number of different ways, they sought those jobs in government. They also sought, if they were looking at private sector jobs, you went to work for a Bell Canada or you went to work for a Nortel, and you went to work for a company or a government where you would work your whole life. I mean, you look back at the labor market in the 1970s and the average length of time someone stayed, in their job, but more importantly, with their employer, that's changed dramatically since that time. People are spending far less time working for the same person. The workforce is more mobile. So that's the first, I think, indication that that's changed, but that's not the case, that people are seeking out those more secure jobs. The second thing, and it might seem like a bizarre measure, but I think it's a great measure, is that when I went to university in the 1970s, the largest department, in terms of students and in terms of faculty, was the political science department. Today, those departments are quite small, and business schools have gone right through the roof, a trend that started in the 1980s. And if you talk to a young person today who's attending a university and you ask them, what are you studying, I swear at least 50% of the time they say they're working, they're in the business school. And in my time, you looked at the business school and someone was going to the business school, that was the default department. You went to the business school if you really weren't particularly interested in anything, I'll just go to the business school and I'll get a business degree. I mean, it was obviously, while I'm good enough to get into university, I might as well do something while I'm there, right? So I think I'm with Bruce on this one. In any event, we're just going to take another quick commercial break and we'll be back and keep talking about the economy.
Japanese food priced right. You want some? You'll find it at Osaka Sushi on Oak Bay Avenue. I'm talking miso soup Mondays, California roll Tuesdays, half price appetizer Wednesdays, teriyaki beef and chicken roll Thursdays, sake and beer specials Fridays and Saturdays, and on Sundays, half price tempura. 7 days, 7 specials. Osaka Sushi, the perfect place for a business lunch or a fun dinner. Just minutes from downtown, parking is free. Try Osaka Sushi on Oak Bay Avenue, one block shy of Val Bay Road.
A new roof is a big investment. One of the most important decisions you can make for the protection and value of your home. Before you do anything, look into a steel roof from Irwin Industries. It's fireproof, moss-free, with clean lines and concealed fasteners. Available in over 40 colors, your new roof will last virtually forever. When it comes to the roof over your head, go with a proven system from a proven company. Irwin Industries, 875 Viewfield Road, irwinvi.com. Call 382-5150.
Sleep Country Canada.
If you need a new mattress or have a student going back to school, you've got to visit Sleep Country.
We sell more mattresses by far than anyone else in Canada. So when we end up with lots of extra pieces, one-of-a-kinds, foundations, and mattresses that don't match, we have a huge mix-and-match sale.
And at these prices, every student can go back to school and get the restful sleep they need.
Don't wait. Sleep Country's mix-and-match sale ends soon.
CFAX 1070 is proud of its community involvement, and golf tournaments are a great way to help raise funds for important community causes. So tee it up and let it fly at these upcoming events.
Cowichan Canadian Tire tee off for the Tour Golf Tournament is Tuesday, September 18th at Cowichan Golf and Country Club. Register for a day of golf, barbecue, lunch, dinner, an auction, and more, all in support of Tour de Rock.
Find out more at CFAX1070.com. CFAX 1070, involved and committed to our community.
The right kind of professional advice could change your life. Robin of Hatch and Muir.
Whether you're choosing an advisor for the first time or considering changing advisors, make sure you get the right one for you. Always look for a qualified financial planner. Complete a background check. Conduct a formal interview. Get all your questions and concerns answered before making a decision.
Visit HatchMuir.com and open the worksheet for choosing an advisor. Invest right with Hatch and Muir. Investments, insurance, advice. Call 953-6816.
Hatch and Muir, we can help you.
Local news on your smartphone. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Go to CFAX1070.com. CFAX1070.com. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. We're talking to Bruce Carter and John Jurisic about the economy, and we're just talking about, you know, how we create new dollars, get new dollars into the economy, and that sort of maybe goes to the issue of what, you know, this catch-all that's called economic development. And I think one of the things that suffers from is that it's one of those catchphrases or grab all that people use, and everyone nods knowingly and says, "Oh yeah." But you know, we need to be a little more specific as when we say, you know, we need more economic development, or we need government to get more involved with economic development. Just precisely what is it that we're talking about?
Oh, I don't know if you can go to precise, and you know, that's why we already have trouble with the term.
Yeah.
But I like to think about the outcomes of economic development. You know, and if we look at Greater Victoria and where we sit, we have some of the highest housing prices in Canada, but yet we have lower than average household incomes, and that just doesn't match. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at economic development, we'd have more jobs. You know, we'd have enough tax base to support all the things that we want to do. And ideally, it becomes relatively easier. We have more household-sustaining jobs that can afford the housing that's here. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we need to bring new dollars into the economy. We can't circulate the ones that are here. We need to get technology firms to sell stuff to the United States, and they pay us, and the money is new to our region. We need to attract tourists who bring money from other regions and do that. We need to export products to other parts of the world, and they need to pay us. And that's where the new dollars come from that create the growth that allow us to be able to afford the quality of life that we absolutely love here. And that's across the board. So it doesn't matter where you are. It's a region-wide thing. Mm-hmm. So that's where I go with economic development. There's a bunch of activities that happen in that, you know, retaining existing businesses and growing new ones and attracting businesses. I mean, that's the business of, but I think we need to keep an eye on the outcome, which is we can afford the quality of life we have.
I've been fascinated by this issue for some time and been involved directly with it. Bruce Carter and the Victoria Chamber actually demonstrated strong leadership about 5-6 years ago when the Capital Regional District was unable to define or present a vision for economic development for the region. The Chamber stepped in and helped form what we call now the Greater Victoria Development Agency, which is a group of business folks, business organizations, and government to help with economic development. Mm-hmm. I was involved with those in the early days, and I'm still perplexed and around the role of government with economic development.
Yeah, well,
and would like to talk more about that from your perspective. Well, you've been there.
Yeah, what
do they do? Just throw money out there?
Precisely. No, seriously, that's what they do. And I think that's the dilemma when you know, there's suddenly a pressure put on government in times of downturns to do something to, you know, stimulate the economy, develop economic activity. What do we see? We see a lot of bridges being built.
Down in the States, are they not on stimulus package number 14?
Exactly.
They don't, what's happening?
But, you see, but here's the interesting. I mean, Bruce, you know, raised, I think, a very interesting point in terms of, I mean, it's not just people outside of government who are having difficulty defining economic development. Government is having difficulty in defining its role, and it seems to me that one of the keys here is that, you know, both sides have to get together and start communicating better to each other, because Bruce says affordable housing. I mean, you know, who would have thought that affordable housing is an issue in economic development? But we know that in Victoria it is for the very
Absolutely.
Reasons that Bruce talked about. And so how do you create affordable housing? Well, you know, I mean, government could write a big check. Or, you know, one thing that's always been mentioned when this has come up, when I've heard it discussed in the Victoria area, right? You know, maybe we have a real commuter train service going up island so people can start, you know, buying homes, you know, further up the island in more affordable markets, but commute into Victoria as where they work. I mean, how do you create affordable housing when the market says, sorry, you know what, we just want to live here. And because we think it's a great place to live, and that's putting the pressure on the housing.
You know, whenever you talk about government writing big checks, I just see huge tax bills. So
yeah.
not really all that terribly interested in that. But I think when we talk about affordable housing, one of the there's two sides of the scale. One of them is the price of the house, and the other one is how much money you make.
Yeah.
I see very much economic development's job is to look at the income side of the scale and say, we need to get people earning more money, which means we need more higher-paying jobs, which means we need to continue to attract the knowledge-based workers and the high-tech, and we need to make sure that that mix continues to move towards high-paying jobs. So you've got Microsoft who sets up a gaming studio. Those people can afford housing in Victoria,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, that's the wage level we're after. We look at everyone who's involved in that shipbuilding industry and all those shipbuilding contracts. Those are people who make enough money to be able to afford housing in Greater Victoria. So those are two really good things that have happened in the last little while and will bode well for us for 20 to 50 years. I think that's great. But when we talk about government's role, they don't necessarily need to write a check. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go back to Oak Bay's turn down of you know, the seniors facility. You're going, well, if the only criteria you were looking at were the number of parking spots and the height of the building, where was the, my mom needs a place to live?
Yeah.
And my son needs a place, son and daughter need a place to work.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I don't think those were part of the criteria that were considered by Oak Bay Council. I could be wrong, and, you know, maybe, you know, the mayor will haul me aside here someday later on. But I don't think it's the
criteria. As will we.
Right, but I don't, but I don't think it's a criteria that ever crosses any council's mind. We've defined our role so narrowly as to how's it going to affect the sidewalks and will the trees be okay? And municipal councils in particular have lost track of, is there economic activity around this? Are there jobs around this? Because, you know, that may be more important than five parking spots.
I've been involved with an initiative beside the airport. It's ended up being called the Sydney North Saanich Industrial Group.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting how economic development gets different looks and feels as the economy gets tighter
mm-hmm.
and tougher.
Mm-hmm.
This is an organization of manufacturing interests that are generating close to $750 million up beyond beside the airport.
Mm-hmm.
This is an organization that collectively out there, there are over 1,000 employees,
mm-hmm.
okay? Bruce has been involved. The chamber has been asked to somehow help their number one issue, okay? Mm-hmm. Now think about this.
Affordable housing.
What is economic development for those folks? Arguably the largest economic engine on Vancouver Island? Correct. Affordable housing. So how, therefore, can those councils impact that decision? Because apparently, according to all the developers out there and around Langford, the affordable housing threshold is about 500,000.
Yeah.
That's what is sort of the entry-level employee needs to be in that area to live in this city.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those are in Oak Bay?
Yeah, exactly.
Zero.
Well, it's interesting. Going back for a second, Bruce's sort of comment about, you know, the paradigm decision makers are using and what's not in the paradigm, like, you know, what purpose is this going to serve? How many jobs is it going to create? So on and so forth. I mean, so much of that, do you not think, is, you know, I've sometimes referred to it as the Canadian disease. I mean, we are a nation. Basically our landlords for resources that, you know, have driven our economy and have never had to debate or discuss growth. All we've ever had to debate or discuss is distribution versus redistribution of the wealth that we were fortunate enough to be born on top of. These discussions happen in other economies. I know in Europe in particular, given, the strains that have been there in the last 10, 15 years, you hear stories about labor unions and management sitting down and talking about growth. How can we grow the economy? The Green Party in Europe is a serious party because of their credibility on economic issues. They're not anti-growth. They sit down and they talk about growth. We don't talk about growth.
We talk more about what we can't do than what we can. And I don't know if that's a Canadian thing or if it's, because the bulk of our population, lived through the post-depression era and then they all got laid off and now they're retired. I'm not sure what that's about, but it's a real challenge. We run into this often, business can't profit. That's not right. Well, no, hold it. Business profit is where things like jobs and taxes come from.
Yeah.
If businesses don't have profit, they're holes in the ground, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they're vacant space. Mm-hmm. We can't have that in our economy. We need to provide jobs and we need to provide revenue in order for that to work. And that's the economy that we have. And I don't know, somewhere in our mix of explaining things to folks, we've missed that. And I know I have this discussion with my teenage daughter, and the most recent one was around the teachers dispute. Why don't we just pay them more money, Dad? Well, yeah, we can.
Yeah.
What do you want to give up in order to pay them?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? And I said, well, the money that pays the teachers comes from our house, mm-hmm. right? It comes from the money that we make. Do I think teachers should get a good salary? Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, just remember that when you're talking about more, you're talking about less here. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. If we're willing to make that investment, and I said, so if we don't want to go on vacation this year because we think your education is more important and we need to do that, then I'm okay with that. And she went, what do you mean? She didn't get the connection. So it was a very good discussion. She's kind of going, oh, well, I don't know how much more I want to pay teachers. Oh, thank goodness. At least we understand the economic challenge that we have.
Mm-hmm. And good for her. And good you're having that conversation. That's extraordinarily healthy. However, going back to what economic development and what how does it get defined, it turns out that it's probably a lot of little things. As Bruce said, there's no silver bullet. A defining factor for our region, apologies to Prince George and the Kootenays who are listening to us right now, is this sense there is a lack of regional vision. It is what the Victoria Chamber and the GVDA have been trying to demonstrate. But it's hard when you have strong leadership out in the West Shore looking after the West Shore. Mm-hmm. It's hard when you have a strong mayor like Frank Leonard very much concerned about Saanich, and as it should be. Mm-hmm. But what happens, and then you have the milieu in Victoria. So I think that if we can start to solve some of those regional issues, it would be very helpful towards economic development.
Well, I think that's a good topic to move on to, which we will do right after this commercial break.
You want 9 holes of golf and a great meal for just $37? You got it. Highland Pacific Golf invites you to 9 and Dine. Available Friday to Sunday after 4 p.m. Call 478-GOLF or book online at highlandpacificgolf.com.
You want weekend golf for your family for just $45? Done. Highland Pacific Golf invites you to family golf. 4 players, $45 after 4 p.m. Friday to Sunday, maximum 2 adults. Call 478-GOLF or book online at highlandpacificgolf.com.
Joan and Bob here from Heirloom Linens.
As your local source for twin extra long sheets and back to school bedding, busy mom and dads have come to trust Heirloom Linens to have the quality and selection they depend on for the past 17 years.
Along with specially priced Queen and King Egyptian cotton sheet sets and feather duvets, we also accept competitors' coupons. So visit heirloomlinens.com and make a back to school wish list of your own.
That's the one and only Heirloom Linens in Broadmead Village.
We only sound expensive.
Are you having problems with paparazzi? Do you have deer eating away your gardens? Maybe you just want to spruce up your driveway entrance. Harbor Door installs a full line of driveway gates and entry systems. Automated gates are custom designed and unique to your property, adding attractive architectural detail, privacy, and security. Harbor Door has been installing gate systems for over 25 years and has the expertise to coordinate all the details from start to finish. For all your garage door or gate needs, call Harbor Door or visit online at harbordoor.com.
Time is not on our side. Act now with your future in mind. Financial market volatility is fact, and those facts are worrisome. Put your financial needs in the hands of successful and proven wealth management advisors. Todd Vaughn and Alan Bevan, through TD Waterhouse Private Investment Advice and the TD Bank Group, bring you the kind of guidance and strength you need in today's market. Call them today at 250-953-6015 and stop worrying.
TD Waterhouse Private Investment Advice is a division of TD Waterhouse Canada Inc., member Canadian Investor Protection Fund.
Right now, Jill is wailing on her guitar. But a year ago, it was just a dream. Then she started building her rebate at Peninsula Co-op. Fuel for the car, coffee at the convenience store, visits to the touchless car wash. And when she got her rebate check, she made that guitar hers. Maybe next year's rebate will pay for lessons. Peninsula Co-op members got 5 cents per liter on all fuel purchases last year. Visit your local co-op today.
Stop, stop, fill it up at your co-op. Moving ahead by giving back.
CFAX 1070 puts Victoria first with complete coverage of local news, weather, and traffic when you need to know. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. We're talking with Bruce Carter and John Jurisic about matters economic and where they lead to. And I just, you know, we were going to go on and talk about, you know, regionalism, regional issues here in Victoria. But before we do that, I just want to go back, Bruce, to, you know, the conversation you were having with your daughter, which was, you know, really about, you know, we have to make choices of this or that. It's an issue of choices, and we were talking about that in the context of growth and how, you know what, if you're not growing and you're not focusing on growth, then it really is this or that. And yeah. And in this country, we've had a wealth that we were fortunate enough to be sitting on, and it's maybe created a mentality that is not benefiting us at this particular point in time, given the challenges we're facing. And you mentioned, you know, something in the break I'd like you to expand on a little bit, you know, absence of or a need for economic intelligence.
Yeah, I think they're you know, if I use my daughter as the example, not a very good understanding, certainly before that conversation, where money comes from, where government services come from, and the connection and that to the economy and what we want to spend and how all of that works. And I think that's all too common a theme in our society today, is people not understanding that, you know, it is the economy that runs, that provides all these money for services. And, and you know, we have a role to play. We need to understand the economic choices. We need to understand the sources of where that comes from. And we need to understand that on an individual level. And so that when we say, oh, we need to have more meat inspectors, or we need to pay teachers more, and we need to do all those things, we can. It's the, you know, but we can't do them all. You know, we do need to set priorities. And, you know, back to John's point around governance, we need to understand the limited resources we have, where we're going to focus them and how we're going to spend them. And you know what? Not everybody can have everything they want. And we need to have that conversation. And I would really love to have that conversation with a bunch of, you know, the 90-odd regional elected politicians on the municipal side to say, where does money come from? What's your role to play as a municipality in jobs in the economy? So,
well, I mean, that's I guess our next topic is it leads nicely into it. I mean, we want to eventually get around to the whole issue of government and its role to play in all of this. And you know, there's a general question, you know, at the outset in terms of, you know, we've got different governments. We have municipal, we have provincial, we have federal. But let's start with municipal government. And you know, what is its role to play? And I guess the obvious thing that's sitting there in Victoria is, well, we've got 13 of them. And, you know, what are the challenges that faces, that basically, you know, puts to us?
As a business person, I would truly like them all to be on the same page.
Yeah.
And that's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, I think in a previous show, when we talked or referenced amalgamation and how it became, or generally speaking, is on the Chambers of Commerce priority lists. Mm-hmm. Bruce and I looked at what the Chamber of Commerce priority list was. What was it, 100 years ago, Bruce? 50 years ago? Guess what number one was?
Amalgamation. Yeah.
We most definitely have different textures and cultures in this region. But when those folks that I referenced out in Sydney need to find a way to bring those 300 or 400 folks who live in West Shore to Northern Sydney and can't get a transit line to accommodate them, there's a problem here.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting.
This is pretty simple stuff at the end of the day.
Bruce, you and I have had, you know, conversations about this before. It seems to me that when the whole issue of amalgamation starts getting discussed, the manner in which it's discussed publicly, the manner in which it's defined by the media, kind of misses the point in terms of what it's about. You know, there's a lot of people out there who think it's about saving money, whereas, you know, if you look at the experiences, you know, elsewhere – Toronto and Montreal being two places that were recently amalgamated. No, guess what? You know, amalgamation actually ends up costing you more. It's not a cost-saving thing. It's not about cost efficiency. It's about effectiveness.
Absolutely.
And having a more effective government. And you know, I'll let you comment about that a little bit in terms of what that means when we're talking about effective government, and that's the whole regional versus local thing.
Well, and I want to go back to, you know, we have a much better example of amalgamation, I think, that's closer to home, and that's the amalgamation of Vancouver, Point Grey, and Kitsilano back in the 40s. And that one seems to have worked well and has gotten a city that's gotten, you know, about the right size and area. What we need to understand in this region is the dot on the map is Victoria. Mm-hmm. You know, always has been, likely will be for quite some time. We need to have a regional vision around what we want to do. We need to recognize that if we're going to do an economic development strategy, I don't know, say for Keating Crossroad, that nobody on Keating Crossroad actually sells stuff to people on Keating Crossroad. Right? I mean, they're building kitchen cabinets that are going into homes that are being built in Langford. I mean, they're putting cabinets into condo developments that are downtown. I mean, that's the type of industry that's there. So to say, oh, that's one municipality and what happens there doesn't matter, well, it's simply not the business reality. It becomes the municipal reality, which is just astounds me, baffles me.
Mm-hmm. Well, somehow, and I don't know the answer to this, we need to get our municipal politicians to be all talking the same language. Mm-hmm. And we've been trying to do this for a long time. Mm-hmm. I have heard recently, and Bruce alluded to Keating Crossroad, that they are about to embark upon an economic development strategy for Keating Crossroad. I mean, what are we going to now have? Yeah. You know, 50 different economic development strategies per street? Mm-hmm. Come on. I don't know the elixir here to get this stuff to work.
Well, but if you have 13 municipalities, why wouldn't you have 50 different economic, you know, development people? I mean, you know, the thing is I think Bruce's key point is that, you know, no one in Keating Crossroad sells anything Keating Crossroad. And then, you know, one of the roles of things like chambers is being to put people in a room who can sell things to each other. You know,
oh, right. Yeah,
and we do a very good job of that until they don't show up or don't want to talk to each other.
Yeah. Right.
Now what do you do?
Yeah, exactly.
But I think we can go back to a very good example, and this is the Oak Bay example of turning down, you know, essentially a new development of an existing retirement facility with a new one that would have brought jobs, economic impact, and would have provided housing that seniors need. Mm-hmm. I think if you had a regional government, right, as opposed to turning them down twice at a cost of, oh, probably $300,000 to $500,000 a pop when they go to council, a regional council would say, we need to have senior facilities. We need to have retirement facilities. And, you know, one over there somewhere near Oak Bay is good. Let's find a place to put one. And we need another one up in Saanich. And, and you start to go, we need to have these things. We need to spread them around. And we have the authority and power to do it. Mm-hmm. And for all that we understand – you know, the needs of that neighborhood, the needs of the community are just as important. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to put another story, one more story, on a building that's already there that's five stories or that's four stories. I mean, mm-hmm. So you can do that because regionally it makes sense. And the imperative, I mean, so we need now to put in the mix of housing and jobs and economic activity to, is the setback okay and are there enough parking spots?
It clearly is a relationship between business and government in which we have to actually be talking the same language and that we have to be aligned. And if we want to put a wrapping around this, I would like to see whatever government ends up in next May, mm-hmm. we're talking the same language. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a challenge. However, let's throw the gauntlet. Talking about throwing the gauntlet, mm-hmm. I sense that we don't have entirely all that much time before the 9 o'clock show, but the 9 o'clock piece, a part of
John,
economic...
we have as much time as I'm willing to give you.
I mean, inevitably, a big part of economic development becomes marketing, public relations, communication. It's some element of it. Mm-hmm. And we had a fantastic illustration of amazing marketing last week in which our CTV folks made a mistake and started to talk about canoodling. I'm still not entirely sure what that means. However, that got almost 1.4 million hits. Mm-hmm. It has garnered international attention. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Astrid, and I'm not sure of the other fellow's name.
Andrew.
But isn't that fascinating how that little element of what happened last week probably did more for this region than 5 years of economic development discussion?
Well, John, you know, just...
And the gauntlet I'm throwing is for you two to somehow use canoodling within the next hour.
I was just going to say, John, I mean, and before we go to our news break, I just want to be very, very clear that you know, I don't want you asking me to canoodle, and I don't want to see you two canoodling.
But doesn't it mean chatting?
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, for all of the discussion around canoodling is interesting, and there's $1.4 million hits. Need to turn that into business? Yes. You know, will more people visit Victoria because of the 1.4 million hits?
Well, interesting question.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure we're going to get tourism out of that. Yeah. You know?
Well, it's part of the mix. It's part of the mix of marketing, public relations, and I'm not saying – I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, provide some lighthearted to what is an economic development, you know, discussion.
I think as a region we need to much better define who we are, what our value proposition is, and why you'd come and visit here. And that is how we build business.
And that's what we're going to come back to right after this news break. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority.